Good morning. If you're new, we're happy. If you're a visitor this morning, we're glad you're with us. Even if you're not new, we're still happy. Welcome for sure. You braved the elements, you hearty souls. Proud of every one of you. It's a good day to be here this morning. We started a couple of weeks ago with a new series entitled Disconnect to Connect. And we looked at these three inventions that sort of changed the world, kind of changed everything. And we've done some surveys and talked about how many of us have used our cell phones, the internet, or watched a TV or a movie within the last 24 hours. These things changed it all. They have just come into our culture and infiltrated all that we are. And of course, last week, or 2 weeks ago, I should say, we looked at really the heart of why we need to disconnect from some of these technologies. And maybe these things are a good thing, but perhaps it's just too much of a good thing at times. And we looked at this stuff being very addicting. And I think if we're honest, we can say that, and I'll be the first to admit, boy, this stuff can get addicting if you let it, any of these three technologies. And then we looked at the other reason why we should sometimes kind of unplug is not because technology is always altogether bad. It's not, but Jesus is just altogether that good. And connection to him is like nothing else. And so if there's any chance that these things are in any way kind of holding us back from that intimate relationship with Jesus, then we need to unplug. And then last week, we looked at sort of the whens, when to disconnect, to connect. And we looked at some signs or some indicators, and maybe you could resonate with some of these. When I need the new, even when the old one is working just fine. Yeah, maybe a little sign that I need to disconnect. Or maybe if I can't live without it. And I talked about my personal struggle with that smartphone and how that thing is just always. I didn't bring it this morning. If you were here last week, I brought it with me, and that created some trouble. Pastor Thomas called me right in the middle of the message, and that was just rude, Tom, I got to tell you. Okay, that was not a set. No, I can't go there. Okay, but sometimes these things, you know, and most of you, maybe you have your cell phone on you right now, and that's fine if you got it on silent, but, you know, these things, we just can't seem to live without them, and that's maybe a sign, too. Or maybe these technologies, and we looked at the internet being almost hazardous to our health, our relational health and our spiritual health, where we can just be on that thing all the time, and our family and our friends and even our walk with Jesus can be hindered because of our internet use. And then we talked about television, and sometimes it can make our life seem sort of cloudy. And if life is just constantly cloudy and unsettled, and it's not that life isn't going to be tough, because we all know life presents us with some things that are tough, but if it's always seeming this unsettled cloudiness, boy, maybe we got to unplug from TV a little bit. Well, that's sort of the whys and the whens. Today, we're going to look at the how-tos. I told you we're going to get practical. This is going to be our last week on disconnecting to connect, and we're going to look at just some practical tips on how we can do that. I want to start, though, this morning with those same three questions. If you have your sermon notes, it's a pink sheet of paper, and this is going to be the first thing that you can fill in on this morning. These are these three questions that, boy, I believe these are so key to life and to making good decisions in life. We're going to look at these three questions one more time this morning. First question is, does this glorify God? Does this technology and how I'm using this technology, is my smartphone, is how I'm using the internet, is how I use television, is that glorifying to God? Because all of life has to be banked in that question. As a follower of Jesus, our goal should be to glorify him. So that's a key foundational question. Second question is this, does this edify my life? So is this something that is building me up in my walk with Jesus? Is it neutral? Is it building me up? Or is it, worst case, taking me down? Got to ask that question. Third question is, does this benefit others? So is this invention and how I'm using it beneficial to other people in my life? We're going to look at some keywords, five keywords this morning that will help us how to of disconnecting to connect. You know, before we get there, though, let's just open in a little word of prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, again, I want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you for just, again, that time of praising you and worshiping you. And God, it just felt a little bit like we were in your very presence, and I think we were. So, Father, I pray that our praises were pleasing and glorifying to you. And God, we ask now that as we look into these different aspects, these different inventions, God, that have so taken over our culture. I pray that, Lord, we can evaluate. We can have your Holy Spirit help lead us and guide us into maybe some areas and even some practical ways this morning of how we can disconnect from these things to truly connect in with you as the best part of life. So, Father, we ask for your Spirit to be moving actively among us. Be with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's look at five key words this morning. I think these will be five little how-tos, practical tips, how we can disconnect to really connect. First word is this. It's on your sermon notes if you want to fill this in. It's the word lag. The word lag, L-A-G. This is not keeping up with the ultimate, newest, most advanced technology. This is getting a little bit techno-lazy, if you will. You just don't get the height. You just don't get the very height, the foremost piece of technology. This helps in a couple ways. I think it saves you some cash, because if you know a lot about technology, boy, the height of today's technology is what they're going to charge you the premium for. You give it a little bit of time, and it comes way down pretty quick, doesn't it? And so it saves you a little bit of cash, and then it also helps with the addictive quality of technology. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew 6. We're going to read a couple passages from Matthew 6 this morning. These are probably well known if you've spent time in God's Word, but let's read these passages from Matthew 6, starting in verse 19. Verse 19, it's talking about treasures on this earth. Matthew 6, 19. Do not lay up for yourselves, these will also be up on the screen. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal or where technology outdates it in 6 months. Doesn't say that, but it's in there, okay? Verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So the question is, what's my treasure? This morning, what's my treasure? Is my treasure my stuff? And to be honest, we all have to admit, boy, once in a while we can go there. Our stuff, my iPhone and my iPad and my plasma, and that can all get to be, if I'm not careful, it can get to be my treasure. And especially if I have the newest and the latest and the most up-to-date advanced, it even seems to have more power to be the treasure and to work its way into that place of my heart. But when we lag, behind technology a little bit, it's just not as attractive. There's something about not having the height of technology that it loses some of its power. I told you last week about my BlackBerry, my little phone. And when I had the first BlackBerry, that almost one of the first ones that came to the area, I was so proud of that thing. Remember that monster phone? And it sat on my hip, and I walked with a limp because it was that big. But I was so proud of it. And now I still have a BlackBerry, but it's not the height of technology. And I'll tell you that when you don't have the height of technology, it loses some of its addictive hold and that addictive power when you just lag behind just a little bit. Now you may be sitting here saying, "Well, Mark, okay, that sounds all fine and good, but I have the height of technology right now. I have the iPhone 4S." And here's my word to you. You know what? Just give it 6 months, because in 6 months you won't have a year for sure. No matter what the height of technology is today, you won't have it tomorrow. And then when you don't have it, just get content with what you have if it's still working. Because there is something about not consistently being at the height, and technology and that marketing mix push us to have the height of it. But when you lag behind just a step or two or three or ten, it loses some of that addictive power that it once had. You just won't care about it as much. That's our first word, is to lag. Second word is this, seek. Second word is to seek. Connect to Jesus. This is a thought, a tip, a how-to. Connect to Jesus just before you connect to technology. Oftentimes, before I go and watch television, or I think about browsing the internet, or I think about some piece of technology, I'll spend just a little bit of time. I don't do this every time, but I'll often spend just a little bit of time in one of two places, either in the Word or in a little bit of prayer time. Just a little bit of time seeking God first before I go to technology. It's not that I don't plan on going to watch television or I don't plan on going to browse the internet, but I just start there first. Let's read another passage from Matthew 6. Again, a popular verse, verse 33. Matthew 6, 33. But seek first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. This plays over into so many realms of life, but we should always be seeking Jesus first. This does a couple of things, and this is what this does for me. When I seek Jesus first, before I go to some of these technology places, it does a couple of things, or maybe one of these two things. First of all, it gives me a different, and I'd say a proper perspective on my internet browsing or on my TV watching. Because so many times I can just flip on the TV and start watching, or I can just go on the internet and start browsing, and I don't have the mindset that as a follower of Jesus I should have. And when I seek Jesus first, it gives me a different perspective. The other thing that oftentimes, not always happens, is when I am done with my just time of prayer or the word, I just don't feel like going there anymore. And for some reason, I've lost some of my motivation to do the very thing I was planning on doing. And maybe God even gives me a thought of, like, do this instead. It's not that technology is all that bad, but one of those two things seems to happen. Either I have a better, more godly perspective on that TV, internet, whatever that may be, or many times I just don't feel like going there anymore. About a month ago, I was taking a walk, and I just started off walking, and I had my little headphone things, and I was going to listen to some music, and so I put them in. But there was this thing that was heavy on my heart. But I thought, you know what, I'll just take a walk and I'll deal with it. And so I put my headphones in and I start walking, and all of a sudden I thought, hang on a second. If I'm dealing with something and this thing that was kind of weighing a little bit heavy, maybe I should talk to God about it first. Now, you would hope and think that maybe that would be my first thought, but you know, in many ways I just started walking. But I did, I took the headphones out. And I kept on walking, but I just started talking to God about this thing that was weighing heavy, wherever that is down in this region. And I started talking to God about it, and walking and talking and connecting to him first. And he started communicating back with me and giving me perspective on this thing. And he even gave me a couple of insightful thoughts on how to deal with this thing that I was dealing with. And I thought, wow. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And in about a half an hour or so, I put the headphones back in, and then I started. And it was different because I had connected. I had sought him first, and he gave me insight on this thing that I needed insight on. We got to be able to seek Jesus first before technology. Third word, number three. We're going to go through these kind of quick because we got five. Number three word is to think. Think. Now, this one sounds obvious, but we should always be people who are thinking about the things that we do. We should be deliberate and intentional about the technological choices that we're making every day. They should be intentional. They should be thought out. Again, verse you've heard before, most likely, Romans 12, 2. Powerful verse. Do not be conformed to this world. That word conform means to fashion myself after the pattern of. Conform means to fashion, or it's even a word that implies partnership, that somehow I am partnering up with the world to see what their pattern is, and then I'm following in their pattern. And what God's word is saying, don't do that. Don't just take the pattern of this world, whatever it is, and follow in that. Okay, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. That's the word for like metamorphosis. That's the picture of like a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. Okay, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. A renewed mind, and God is the only one that truly renews our mind, but when our mind is being made new, it always is considering things. It's mulling things over. It's not just blindly following in the pattern that the world has set out. These three pieces of technology, I will tell you, our world is setting a pattern for these three pieces of technology. It is pushing us down a road that these three things need to become a greater and greater and greater and greater part of our life. And I'm not a prophet, but I'm here to tell you it's only going to get worse. The hold that these three pieces of technology have today is only going to get more so a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now. We'll look back at today as the good old days when technology didn't have quite so much a hold on our life. Down the road, it's only going to get worse. That's why we have to grab a hold of this today and not let it get that, following the pattern of this world. Now, I want to just go with me for a moment here. The word to think in the Greek means to muse, M-U-S-E. That's the word of what it means to muse. It's to ponder. It's to mull it over, to consider it, to muse. Now, think of what much of technology and entertainment is. It is to amuse, isn't it? Amuse or amusement. Now, when you put A in front of a word, it all of a sudden instantly makes that word the opposite. So amuse, if we're literally going to define it, means to not think. So amusement is all about not thinking. We are to muse, we are to think, we are to be people who use our minds to make good decisions, to not conform to the patterns of this world, but we have to think about that to go there. Amusement is so much about, and literally by very definition is about not thinking. Now I think our enemy, and we have an enemy, wants to do two things with our thought life. Either he wants us to think of things in the wrong way, so he doesn't mind if we use our minds to think of, that's why he tries to condemn you. That's why he tries to keep you wrapped up in anxiety. That's why he tries to keep you just banked in fear. That's why he tries to do that to us. He'll let us think. He'll encourage our thinking if it's wrong thinking. That's why we need to be in here to get the right thinking. Or he will try to cause us not to think. Therefore, he will amuse us. And if he can just amuse us, amuse, not think. If he can get us to be more and more and more and more amused, then we won't be thinking. We won't be consciously making good decisions on the technology choices that we're making. Could we be overly amused as a culture? Technology is like a double-edged sword. I told you this. It's not that technology is altogether bad, but we have to be thinking about the choices that we're making. We can't just in a naive way follow after the pattern of the world. Am I always thinking, why am I going on this website? Why am I choosing this website to get information? And does this website glorify God? Am I thinking, why am I going and looking at this person's Facebook page? Why am I going on this Facebook page? Is this beneficial to me? I'll tell you right now, Facebook can be a very positive way to connect with people. But I have heard more stories recently about how Facebook was used by our enemy in some very negative ways. Why am I going on this page looking at this person's information? Be intentional. Be thoughtful. Don't just go blindly. Think. As parents and as families, we have to be thinking, why am I allowing this television show into my home? Why am I allowing these video games to be played in my living room? It's not that these are altogether bad, but we have to think about it. We have to be intentional about it so that we don't just follow after, blindly, naively follow after the pattern of this world. Because the only way, according to this, that we are going to know God's will for our life is if we are having our mind renewed in Christ and in the Word. Otherwise, we're just going to be blindly following after whatever pattern we happen to be falling into. Again, it's not that technology is all bad. There are times and in my life where technology is a huge blessing. Most of my sermons, I study on a computer. In fact, some of the programs that they have now are wonderful. We use them on Wednesday nights. And I love the power and the study that I can make using a computer, and it's a huge blessing. It can tie me into some of the greatest Christian minds that are out there. And that's good because I'm not one of the greatest Christian minds that are out there. But it ties me, the internet can tie me to some of those people and those thought patterns, and it's very beneficial. I love watching YouTube videos, worship videos on YouTube, and I can connect in and just watch these videos, and they have scenes, and they're beautiful. I love listening to Pastor Len's old sermons, and technology affords me the opportunity to do that. I love sending and receiving a quick text or a quick little email to somebody, encouraging them either with a verse, And many of you in this room have sent me little verses, either via text or via email, and that encourages us. It's using technology or watching positive, uplifting videos. But we need to be thinking about technology and its impact, never just blindly following. We got to be people who think. We muse, we think, not constantly amused. Let's look at our fourth word. Word number four, fourth key word is the word rest. The word rest. This is taking once a week or so, taking a techno Sabbath. The Sabbath day of rest was given by God to us as a gift. Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Sabbath was given to us as a gift. As God's children, we have the opportunity to enjoy this blessed rest. It was created as a way to rest, to remember, to reflect on God's goodness. We can take some time where we don't have to work. Hebrews 4:9. So then, there remains, this is New Testament, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his. We're just reflecting God when we take a Sabbath. God worked hard for 6 days, and then he rested and enjoyed all that he had created on the seventh. Let us therefore, look at this phrase. Let us therefore strive, that's a word that means to work. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest. Love that phrase. So that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. We are going to need to work to find that place of rest. Now there's two aspects to this verse. Number one is, we rest in Christ spiritually. Christ did the work for us on the cross. That when he died and paid for our sin, and we put our trust, our reliance in him, when we say, Jesus, when you died on the cross, you did the spiritual work of paying for my sin, of taking my place, of reconciling me back to God, we find a place of spiritual rest. We cannot work our way to God. Amen? There is nothing that we can do to earn our salvation. And that is the first place of spiritual rest that we must find as God's children. In fact, we become his children when we trust that he did that for us. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never trusted in Jesus. Maybe you've been to church, maybe you've never been to church. But if you've never trusted in Jesus and found that place of spiritual rest, today is the day. Trust that when Christ did that, he did that for you. There's a second place of rest, though, and this is the place where we need, and our physical bodies, our minds, and our spirits need a weekly rest from all the work. And maybe this rest can include technology. Maybe we can take a once-a-week break from the internet, from TV, from movies, and oh man, this gives me the shakes, but even from our smartphones. Maybe we can take a techno rest once a week where we just disconnect. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but if you struggle taking a once a week Sabbath, understand that that's what everybody has done. Because when God, on the seventh day, when he gave that Sabbath rest and he made it holy, we need to realize that our flesh and our enemy will always battle against what is holy. And if the seventh day of rest is holy, which it is, then we will always struggle taking one day a week and doing nothing but enjoying the very provision and blessing and presence of God. We'll struggle with that. That's why many of you will have to go home today and you'll have to get some work done, because Sunday is a good day to get some work done. And I'm not saying your Sunday has to be your Sabbath, because my Sunday is certainly not my Sabbath. Pastor Tom, amen? Yeah. But one day a week where we can just disconnect, where we can rest. They found the incredible power that that has on our minds and our bodies, and it's just so healthy for us, so good for us to just disengage once a week and to just enjoy God and his provision. You know, somebody gave me an article from the Superior Telegram, and this was written last year. It's in the title of this article, I'm going to read just a couple little lines from it. It's called Unplugging for True Relaxation. The title is, that's the title. It says, Forced Relaxation. It's an oxymoron, but an all too real in our present day culture. Technology has us plugged in, turned on, and connected 24/7. The only way we can relax is if we are forced to do so. That's because we value productivity and time management nearly as much as we value cell phone apps and electric gizmos. We've even coined phrases like multitasking to describe our prowess with the concept of busy. There's no status in relaxation. It's practically a four-letter word. Some would call it the four-letter word of lazy. Still, if you are forced, what can you do? It happened to our family. Then this gal goes on to describe she went on a vacation. It happened to our family last weekend when we went to the lake and forgot our laptop. We had no internet. We purposefully left all video consoles at home, no gaming. Our location was remote and lacked good cell phone service, no texting. And storms and constant rain made TV unavailable, no satellite. In other words, we were unplugged for two whole days. I can see some of you are freaking out right now. Okay, she goes on to describe this whole weekend, and here's how it concluded. Saturday turned into Sunday. It was time to head home rested and relaxed. It hadn't been the weekend we'd envisioned, but it was still the weekend at the lake. As we were loading up, I thought about the lessons I'd learned over the past 48 hours. How boredom can lead to new ideas. A break from technology isn't the end of the world. Naps are good, and gummy bears are sweet. Sometimes, my friends, we need to take a techno rest. Let's look at our fifth and final word. Final word is to fast. To fast. This is taking an extended break from something that has too great a hold on our life. We need to figure out what our techno temptation is and take a techno break from it. There's something powerful about taking an extended break from anything that has too big a hold on our lives. An extended break. In my house, we've taken some extended breaks from TV and month or longer breaks from television. And I'll tell you, when I proposed that to the family, I was not popular dad and maybe not even popular husband. But I thought it had just too much of a hold on our life. So I said, you know what? We could take a break from this for a month or longer. And I'll tell you, it led to some very positive things. We have TV in our house, but it ceased to lose some of the hold that it had on us prior to that. That's what fasting, taking a break from something does, is it takes the hold, the obsession, the addiction with this thing, and it breaks some of those bonds. We can take extended breaks. I want to close with a story about Jesus and a young, wealthy man from Mark chapter 10. Mark 10, this is the story of Jesus and a rich young guy. Starting verse 17, and as he, that's Jesus, was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I've kept from my youth." I love this. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him. He looked at him and loved him. You know, Jesus loves you this morning with a deep, real, sincere love. He's looking at you this morning like he looked at that young guy thinking, "Well, I really love that person." A real sincere love that God has. We'll move on. We could go there for a while. But Jesus looked at him and he loved him. And then he said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me." Look at verse 22. Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus wanted to get to this young, rich guy's heart. Because he loved him. He wanted to get to his heart. He wanted to take that innermost place in this young guy's life. And he saw through all this young guy. He saw through his possessions. He saw through all the stuff. And he just saw right into his heart. And that's what he wanted. And he knew, Jesus knew what would be beneficial for this guy. And he said, "Sell all your earthly treasures and follow me and you'll get the real treasure. Give up what is good to get what is best." Well, problem is this young guy wasn't ready to leave all his stuff. He wasn't ready to leave the good for the sake of the best. You know, Jesus wants that from every single one of us this morning. He wants our hearts. And oftentimes he's asking us, just give up what may be good, or even unplug from what may be good for a while to get what is best. He knows what is best for us in here. He knows that connection to him is the very greatest thing that we can have on this planet. The greatest thing is connection to Jesus. It's not that technology is all that bad, it's that connection with Jesus is just that good. But so often we have to unplug from the patterns of this world, unplug from technology. We give up what is good to get what is best. Technology in many ways in our culture is getting in the way of a clean connection to Jesus Christ, the perfect connection to Jesus. God is looking, of course, for a daily abiding relationship with every one of us. Every one of us, every day, he wants to connect with us. He wants to speak into our lives. He wants to comfort us with his words. He wants to wrap us up in his spiritual arms so that fear just kind of starts fading away. He wants to hold us when we need holding. He wants to push us along when we need a little shove. He wants to be the perfect heavenly Father, and connection to him comes through connection with Jesus Christ. And so what we need to do, my friends, is to disconnect to truly connect. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have opened up this opportunity to know you, to connect with you, to be at peace with you. God, we can be at peace with you through your Son Jesus and through his gift, through the incredible gift, the sacrifice of the life of your Son, and we thank you. God, I pray that if there is anyone here, Holy Spirit, stir them up today to see their need for you. God, we all have the need for you. We were all sinners. We all had fallen short. And yet, God, you solved that problem through your Son Jesus. And so, Father, if there's anyone here this morning who hasn't trusted in you, I pray that they would put their faith, their reliance, their trust in you, that they may start that connection. And God, for all of us who have, Father, if there are any of these aspects of technology or these inventions that are hurting or limiting or holding back that relationship with you, help us to see that this morning. Lord, give us direct guidance on what we need to do. Father, if that's to take a break once a week, if that's to take an extended fast, if that's to let some of the height of technology move on before us, God, if that's to think about technology in a new way, God, if that's to seek you first before we even look at anything technological, Father, I pray that you'd show us specifically what we should do with this. God, we love you. We thank you that you have given to us all that pertains to life and godliness. We praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.